Before we get into what the Lord's called me to prepare, I want to remind you of something. God and Jesus and the church and the Holy Spirit is all about trying to change us to make us more like Jesus, okay? That's something you never forget. You wonder, why did this happen to me? And think about, will it make there some way that this thing happening to me can make me more like Jesus? Because see, that's what He's all about. And we've got to understand that every day, 24/7, God is in the process of making us more like His Son. Now, some of you like me and some of the rest of us that we've talked about have over the years been mistaught by people who did not intend to do that. They thought they were teaching us like it should be. And in these days, praise God, He has brought some of us around to show us what is really going on. And that's what I'm about today. This is another one of those things today that I don't think we quite understand exactly what Jesus meant by all this. Oh, we've heard it. But the problem is, I don't think we do it. And there lies another problem. So, to make you understand, a preacher is not supposed to scold anybody. Jesus didn't do that Himself. He said He didn't come to do that. And I think that what a preacher is called to do is to make you aware of what Jesus said and to explain it like God explains it to you. And then as you know that and you realize that this is what God said and the way He said it, then it's the Holy Spirit's job to deal with that information that you have in your head. All I've got to do is to make sure that I understand God's message and that I allow Him to control me to pass it on to you. And the thing in my prayer was that Jesus has us in school all the time. And everything that happens in our life, there's nothing in our life that comes in contact with me that's not part of Jesus' plan to try to make me more like Him. We're reminded constantly that in Philippians 2:5, we're told, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now let me reiterate that for just a moment, because I'm trying to reprogram us, because I know how I've been taught. Maybe you've been taught that way too. It's not necessarily about what you do, folk. It's the way you think. Let this mind be in you. Because if you think right, you will do the right things. If you don't think right, you may do some good things, but they won't be for the right reasons. So we need to pray for our hearts, that our hearts will be like they need to be. In Matthew, don't turn there, I'll read it to you, on our Thursday night lesson. And here again, praise the Lord for Anthony, because that's where I get a lot of my instruction. It says in chapter 15 of Matthew, in chapter 3, Jesus is talking to some people and He says, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? We've been doing things so long the same way, and the only reason we know why we're doing them is because of that. Well, this is the way we've done things for 30 years. Well, is it the way God wants you to? And there's a question mark come across their face. I hadn't even thought about that. And then it says on down a little bit lower in verse 8, Jesus says, this people draweth near unto me with their mouth. In other words, they talk a good thing and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Something I want to point out there, folks. This world today, the way I've seen it and understand it, is people get credit for going to church. You worship God, you're a good person, right? Not many people would argue with that. But listen to what Jesus said. But in vain they worship me. They're wasting their time, he said. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, they come and they worship and their heart's not right. And next week it's not any better. And the next week it's not any better. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it's supposed to be. In Matthew chapter 13, let me say this, down in verse 13 and 14 in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now listen, y'all. Jesus himself said, they're blind. They're not getting it. When you talk to them and you minister to them and you witness to them and it's obvious they're not getting it, back off. Back off. Leave them alone. Go on about Jesus' business. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 23, but he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word. A lot of people hear it and understand it. Who also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Who is it then that Jesus is looking for us to deal with? What I call the get it. The what? Well, do you get it? Are you getting it? Do you understand it? Are you understanding what Jesus says? Are you understanding what the Bible is teaching? Well, if you do, why aren't you producing fruit? That's what Jesus said. So you ask yourself, and you've got to ask yourself, nobody else really is qualified to ask you. Because you see, as a born-again believer, you have a piece of God in you, the Holy Spirit. And so you have to ask yourself, where is my heart today? Is it better? Is it getting better? Is it going where Jesus wants it to go? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, Paul says, doing the will of God from the heart, not as men pleasers. Okay, there's two sides to that. What you do for God, you do from your heart. Or you do to please those people around you. Now maybe you didn't. But I tell you what, y'all, I found myself in a place where I was more worried about what people thought about what I was doing down at the church than what Jesus thought about what I was doing. And when it hit me, there's a lot of things at the church I quit doing. Because I determined that the only thing I wanted to do was what God called me to do. Because He says, my burden is light, my load is easy, my yoke is light. And the burden I had wasn't light at all. But I was a men pleaser. And I don't want to be a man pleaser. I want to be a God pleaser. So we go to Luke chapter 10. And there in Luke chapter 10 is a parable that we all know. If you've been in church any at all, if you've been in Sunday school, from the time I was little bitty, I was taught about the Good Samaritan. Y'all heard the story. But I tell you something, God put me in a review class this week, and He brought that thing back to me full blast and smacked me right in the top of the head with it. And I want to share some things about it that I learned this week, that I relearned this week, and some of the things that Jesus said about it. in verse 10, or chapter 10. And to give you a little setting here of what's going on, there's a lawyer came to Jesus in a crowd of people, and he said, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "What's written in the law?" And the man said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Now, I'm not going to make a joke about lawyers, but you know how lawyers are. They work with those little words and that little meaning and all this kind of stuff. And this lawyer was trying to find him a little clause in that, some fine print. And so he asked Jesus, it says, desiring to justify himself. And who is my neighbor? Just who is my neighbor? We've had some presidents in the last few years that brought stuff like that. Just what is this and what is that? How do you define it? Knew well all the time exactly what it was. And here's what it says. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jesus didn't always teach in parables, but a parable is a story that Jesus made up that will prove a point. But in the making it up, it's not like the Uncle Remus tales or the Jack tales or whatever. It doesn't go against nature. See, Aesop had fables. And rabbits talked and bears talked. They don't talk. This stuff right here, a parable, is something that Jesus came up with to try to prove a point by telling a story. So this didn't really happen. Jesus made this up. And we need to remember that, because I want to show you how he made it up to make his point. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Here's a guy, probably a Jew, traveling on the road. Robbers jumped on him, beat him up, took everything he had, and left him laying half dead in the ditch. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. This is probably a Jew. The only priest they had then in those days was Jews. So one of his own preachers came down the road walking by. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side of the road. Oh, I don't want to get involved with that. So he walked on the other side of the street and passed him, hoping nobody had noticed that he avoided him. And likewise, a Levite. Now, I don't know if you know about a Levite or not. The Levites was of the tribe of Levi. Some of them were priests and some of them weren't. But all of the tribe of Levi got their living from the offering down at the church. They didn't have to make a living. They had it given to them. So you see, that's a church representative too. When he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. This man stopped and looked at him close and turned and walked on the other side of the road. But a certain Samaritan. Now let me remind you something about that word Samaritan. See, he was probably in Samaria. He was a little bit before, so he's probably still there. The Jews hated the Samaritans. They wouldn't even walk on the same side of the street with them. Now, Jesus told a tale about a Jew who got beat up and left half dead on the side of the road. His preacher came by. A guy paid by the religious association came by. And neither one of them stopped to help him. And here comes a Samaritan. Oh no, not one of those. He's telling this story to Jews. And a Samaritan came by, one of them that they declared unclean. They wouldn't have anything to do with. Came, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own donkey, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he stayed overnight with him. He took out 2 denarii, which is 2 days' wages. Now, to put that into present-day deal, I don't know, probably minimum you might say for a guy working in the woods or something, day laboring, what, $100, $125 a day? So the guy left $250 maybe with the guy that ran the motel and said unto him, take care of him, and whatever I spend is more than what I gave you. When I come again, I'll give it. I'll repay you. I'll give it back to you. Which now, Jesus said to the lawyer that asked him, of these 3 thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now let's go back to the first of the story. What did the lawyer ask him? What must I do to be saved? And when he told him the story and he got through, he said, you go and do the same thing. That's a commandment from Jesus. Let me show you a couple of things. If you decide that you're going to be honest to Jesus Christ and do what He commanded you to do, there's a couple of things you need to notice out of this thing right here. Number one, it's going to take you out of your way. I don't know whether this man planned to stay all night at that inn or not, but he did. And he had to stop. He was on a trip. He was on a business trip. And he had to stop. And it took time away from what he was doing. It's going to take up your time. It'll put you out of your way. It'll take up your time. In other words, it's going to be an imposition. You've got other things to do. And it's going to take you away from those things. And I'll tell you something else. If you decide to do what Jesus asked you to do, it's going to cost you some money. Folks that you help are going to need a handout. It's maybe cost you some money because you missed a little work. But it's going to take you out of your way, cost you some time, and cost you some money. You need to go into it with that. That's what it's going to do. But then again, I say this. If God is your way, and God has your time, and all the money you got belongs to Him, what's it going to cost you? You using another man's intent, another man's time, and another man's money. And God can put it back just that quick. So I ask you, God has commanded you to go and help these folks. Do you have enough time to do it? Or is your day scheduled so full of what you need to do that you don't have time to give anybody else any time? And a lot of us, I know, say, I would like to do something like that. I just simply don't have time. So I want to tell you about something that brought all of this to the front this week. Who is your neighbor? That's the question the man asked. And Jesus explained it. Who your neighbor is who needs you that's right in front of you. That's what Jesus puts in front of us, is people that need us. And I wonder how many we have to walk on by not having time before He quits putting them in front of us. Friday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, I got a telephone call. It was Jesse. Jesse said, Mr. Joe, I'm up here in front of the funeral home. And I stopped to help a guy up here. And this man's different than anybody I've ever seen. He said, but he's quoting scriptures every single breath out of his mouth. And he needs help. And you're the only one I know to call. I said, okay, I'll be up there in a little bit. I called Judy, told her, my sugar's low, but I'm going up there. And you just keep an eye open for me. Well, she called Audrey at school and said, when you're coming by there, how about stopping up there in case your daddy gets up there and gets in a jam? Well, when I got up there, there was a picture. There was this guy, his name was Chris. Probably in his 60s, I imagine. And he had long white hair. And he had old ragged clothes. And had dental problems like you wouldn't believe. And there were four cars of law. One deputy and some Montevallo police people. And I asked Jesse, he said, well, he was in the middle of the road trying to push that load. He had a bicycle hooked to the back of a wheelchair. And he must have had a ton of stuff on that thing. There must have been 100 plastic bags, and each one of them was sorted with everything he had in little deals. And he had a bunch of Bibles on there. What is it? Well, I give away Bibles. I've given away 53 just here lately. Okay. And he is quoting scriptures to those policemen like you wouldn't believe. So I walked up to him and spoke to the cop and shook his hand. I said, how can I help you? He says, I'm trying to get to Highway 31. And he said, these guys stopped me up here. This young man helped me. And he said, they tell me probably what I need to do is go to Clear. And one of the policemen spoke up and said, no, you don't need to go to Clear. Said, those cops over there are going to hassle you like you wouldn't believe. If you want 31, where do you want to go? He said, I want to go south, where it's a little warmer. All the guys, the homeless people in Birmingham are in the shelters and they won't let me operate in the shelters. I need to go where it's warm enough, where people are still under the bridges so I can preach to them and deal with them about the Lord. Okay. All right. But he said, I'm going to need a trailer to get out of town. I said, I understand, but I don't think I got a trailer to deal with this. So I looked at the law and I said, look, what can I do? I said, what is it with y'all? He says, well, we've got to get him off of public property. I said, okay. Do you know of a place we could get him overnight? If you get him there overnight, some of us will do something with him in the morning. But it's almost dark. I think I know where I can get a trailer. He said, well, this lot right down here across from BP is private property and it's vacant. Nobody cares. Let's see if we can help him get down there. Well, by the time I turned around good, Jesse was already helping him down there with that contraption he had with all his goods on. And the law told me, he said, the guy's crazy. I said, what you mean? He said, he's got to be crazy. I said, why would he be crazy? I said, man, I'm sitting here listening to him talk scripture. This man is for real. He doesn't just know stuff in the Bible you can study and find out. God had to tell him some of that stuff, and God don't tell everybody. If you ain't right with him, he won't tell you. Well, he's down there in the middle of the road with that thing and traffic backed up behind him, and he's not scared of anything. The man had told me, I've been ministering to the homeless and doing this for 30 years. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You get in the middle of the road with that kind of contraption and have traffic start backing up to you after about 5 or 6 years, you know you're doing it for Jesus. You could care less whether they run over you or not. You know that? But you see, to them, he was crazy. That man wasn't crazy. We found that out. So they carried him down there, told him how to get. The law supervisor told me, he says, I'll have the guys on duty tonight drive by and check on him and make sure nobody hassles him. I said, thank you. Well, there was a deputy there, and he got to talk it. Sound like he's trying to be a big help. So, I told him, I'll see you in the morning. But I said, I got to look after my barn. I can't come early. He said, man, I said, are you where you can be warm? He said, man, I got some sleeping bags in here that impress anybody. He said, they'll keep me warm no matter what happens. Okay. He said, I don't get up early anyhow. Until the sun kind of warms things up, I'm not crawling out of my sleeping bag. Well, I figured if anybody ought to know how to sleep in a sleeping bag in the cold, Chris ought to know how to do it. And the whole time we were talking to him, he's spouting scripture. I gave him a little money, and he said, I want you to know that I tithe my scripture. I tithe my what money's given to me. I said, well, good for you. He looked at me and kind of with a twinkle in his eye and said, a lot of folks don't know the tithe didn't start with a law. It started with Melchizedek. I thought, this guy knows stuff that a lot of folks have been in church all their life don't know. So that night I called down to Jimmy's. Jimmy wasn't there, but Geraldine said, I'll tell him. Next morning I got up and called Jimmy. Jimmy says, just let me hook, could I borrow your trailer? He says, let me hook it up in my truck and we'll come up there and we'll deal with the guy. I said, okay. Well, I went on up there. We had us a good talk for about 30 minutes. And we loaded him up, got him up in that trailer, got it tied because it had to be done. I mean, everything had to be done just so. The ropes had to be this way. Some of the bags had to come off and go in the back of Jimmy's truck and everything. He had it all planned. And I said, what I'm thinking is instead of carrying you to Clara, we'll carry you down the Jemison shortcut and carry you down there to where it comes into 31. You'll still be on 31, but you'll miss Clara. So he crawled up in the back seat of Jimmy's truck. We started that away. And it's like I told Jimmy after we got him put out and got in the truck and got started back. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody programmed his radio to the Christian station, turned the knobs up real loud, and then snatched the knobs off. Because that's all he can talk about. Saying all that to say this, God had a guy come into my life, not many hours, into Jimmy's life. We talked about it. But I called him last night. I said, let me ask you something. Does this guy we dealt with, do you think he was legitimate? He said, you bet. I said, is there any doubt in your mind he wasn't what he said he was? He said, none at all. I said, well, I didn't want to stand and preach in front of a fellow that was there with me and have a different idea than I did. Because God's gave me a message about this. And as we went down the road, this guy was telling us about his 30 years of experience on the road. Now, let me tell you something, y'all. He was crazy. You know why he was crazy? Because he walked up and down the road. You know why he was crazy? He didn't have dental work like we got. You know why he was crazy? Because he had long hair and a big beard. And you know why else he was crazy? Because all he could talk about was Jesus. Now, to a little bit of an extreme, that's what Jesus said the world was going to be. He said, you, if you follow me, are going to be a peculiar people. And the world's going to hate you. There it was. Not often I get to see that personified. And he told us the biggest problem he had, you know what was the number one culprit on his list? Preachers. Preachers was the biggest problem he had. Because you see, he felt like that as a Christian and as a minister, he ought to be able to stop in church parking lots, use their faucet maybe to wipe, use a little water or something like that, get him a drink of water or whatever. No, sir. He told us a little story about a church he stopped around here and how the preacher talked. No surprise to me. I've seen it done at some of the churches I've been in. They want them out of there. And I told Judy, you know, if this was a Christian country like everybody says it is, a man traveling across the country like that, that's born again and a preacher, ought to be able to stop at church. And when they did stop there, they'd give him a little money. They'd give him something to eat. They'd give him a warm place to sleep and call another church down the road, find out which way he's going, and have them watching for him. And take him in down there and do the same thing with him. Doesn't happen. Now he said, I've dealt with the cops and I've dealt with the military men, and they're a lot alike. They're programmed. They only know, they say, all say the same thing. He must have said it 10 times, y'all. He said, when I get in a situation, I pray that God will humble me. He kept saying it over and over. Humble thyself, therefore, 1 Peter says, and God will exalt you. He says, I haven't always been like this. I was pretty rough myself one time. I can take care of myself. But he says, I pray that God will humble me and keep my mouth shut to try to keep me out of trouble. He said, by the way, guys, that deputy was lying to you yesterday afternoon. He said, he has been hassling me all day. He has been running me up and down this road all day long trying to get me out of his jurisdiction. Well, I tried to think who might have complained because he was on private property where he was when they hassled him up, told him he's going to have to leave. All I knew to ask him was, how can I help you? And it didn't take me but a minute to figure out he was legitimate. You know, he said, all the preachers deal with me from an elevated position. One preacher asked me, so you say you're a minister? He said, yes, sir. I'm a minister to the homeless, and I've been ministering to them for 30 years. He said, well, I've been a preacher for 15 years, and you don't look nothing like me. Now, let me ask you something. If Jesus came walking down the road, would somebody pick him up? Would somebody let him stay all night in a church? Would somebody give him a little bit of money? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. This guy had so many similarities. I don't know how much money he had, but money wasn't a big thing with him. He didn't ask for nothing. And he had what he had with him. And he was walking. And he didn't have a place to live. And Jesus didn't either. He just lived off the land. And you know what? Apparently Jesus took care of him pretty good. You know, I think about it. You know, when Jesus got home to Nazareth, you remember what they said about him? The local people, they knew him. And he was making miracles and preaching. And they said, he's a nobody from down the road, isn't he, that carpenter's boy? What's he doing claiming to be the Messiah? They didn't listen to what he had to say. They looked at him. Let me tell you something that the Lord showed me. Don't look at them. They look like everything. Listen to what they're saying. If you want to find out if they're from God or not, listen to what they're saying. Don't look at the who. Look at the what. Listen to their message. Listen to see if Jesus has given them anything to say. I'm going to tell you this. Do you preachers the same way? If you don't think you're getting messages from God, go somewhere where you can. And if God doesn't give you anything to say, why don't you just be quiet? If you're trying to minister to God and He hadn't told you to say something, just be quiet. We, as born-again believers, with the indwelling Holy Spirit are supposed to recognize God's Word. Do you know that? My Bible says, Jesus said, my people know me. They know who I am. They know my voice. So when you hear God speaking to you through a speaker, you ought to know that it's coming from God. You ought to be able to recognize it. But wait a minute. What about all these people? What about all these people that we worry about? Well, everybody's doing this, and everybody's doing that, and everybody's doing this, and they don't pay any attention to the things of the Lord at all. What did Jesus say a while ago? Let them alone. Let them alone. Just do for me. Just do for me. When I fix somebody for you, you'll know who he is. I'll put him in front of you, and you'll recognize him. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Do you know what my Bible said? Be careful when you deal with people you don't know. Because people in doing that have dealt with angels that came looking like people. Now let me ask you something. That next guy you pass, is he for real? Is he a real bum? Or is he an angel looking like that to see what you're going to do? I believe it'd scare me to death to pass one now without doing something for it. So we carried him down to the Lighthouse Church between Thorsby and Clanton. We got him by Clear's police, Jemison's police, and Thorsby's police. I told Jimmy this morning, I'd love to know where he is and what he's doing this morning. He told us he had churches all over the Southeast that knew who he was and believed in him and helped him when he'd come through. They would give him a place to stay. They would give him money. They'd give him food. And they would give him Bibles. He had churches that collected Bibles for him. People who are crazy don't do that. We're supposed to be weird, and if you do what Jesus tells you to do, there's a group of people who are going to think you're weird because you don't do what the world does. This guy right here, I mean, it'd scare one of us to death. Put you out there on the road. Put me out there on the road without any money in my pocket, with nowhere to go. I mean, they checked him out. The law run his name through the system. And he had a disorderly somewhere in Georgia from about 10 years ago. And the law told me, he said, well, he's got a disorderly in Georgia. I said, man, you can give that to somebody. You don't even like his looks. That don't mean nothing. Here's a man that's been traveling the roads, preaching for Jesus for 30 years, and he doesn't have one single thing on his record. He looks danger in the face every day. And he told me, he said, the last time I came through Central Alabama was in the 80s. And I thought I'd try it again this time. But he says, you know what? They don't bother me much in Georgia. They don't bother me much in Florida. But he said, every time I come through Central Alabama, they hassle me from the time I get here till the time I leave. I told him, well, Chilton County is one of the most religious counties around here. It's full of churches. That's when he said what he did. I pray for God to humble me. That's what he said. He kept saying it over and over and over again. And you know what? We're scared to death of a hobo. We ought to quit worrying about the hobo's heart and think about our own. Why are we like that? Why not are we willing to help somebody? Well, you know, if we bring him into our house, he could steal something. You know, watch my niece says, if you're worried about losing something doing a job for Jesus, it's because you hadn't lost enough. If you lose enough, it won't be a concern of yours. Because you'll understand that you don't have anything that doesn't belong to God that God didn't give you to start with. There's something I thought about years ago. Any of y'all ever been around sheep? You know, so many times in the Word, this thing of being a shepherd to the sheep is brought up. You ever been around sheep? They are absolutely the nastiest, stinkingest things you have ever been around in your life. Lanolin, that stuff you use to soften your hands, ladies, is called wool fat. And their hair is full of it. And they stink. And a guy told me one time, we were talking about shepherds, and he brought this point up. He said, you know, if you can't stand the smell of sheep, you can't be a shepherd. If you can't be around somebody like that, and I know it takes special ministry, some people can just do this a whole lot better than I can. I have a problem with drunks in the gutter. I really do. And I've tried, you know, and I pray, and I've dealt with it. But there's some folks that can just do it, and it doesn't seem like it bothers them at all, and I thank the Lord for people like that. Can't stand the smell of sheep, but yet He says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 34, and read you something there. Jesus said in verse 34 of chapter 25, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation. For I was hungry and ye gave me food. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee thirsty or hungry and fed thee? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. There is no way anybody will look at Chris and argue that he's not one of the least of these. No way. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no food. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, and in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You know, let me tell you something, y'all. Your heart and the way you deal with people, the way you deal with the poor, the way you deal with people like Chris, has got a lot to do with God says where you are and where your heart is. So the question comes up. Have you got a heart? What is your heart? Do you notice that your heart's getting more like Christ's heart all the time? Jesus had a heart. He was forever helping those people that couldn't help themselves. We've been talking about for 2 weeks about accountability. Week before last, it was accountable to every word you say, and last week, accountable to everything you do. There was an old black man told me in Tuskegee one time, must Joe every bell got to sit on its own bottom. And that's what he meant. Every barrel has got to sit on its own bottom. And every one of us are going to be called to account for what we did and what we didn't do. Now, I've waited till the last to say something because I've told y'all before, testimony needs to be spread among us. We need to be encouraged. Jesse called me. Jesse hadn't been a Christian too long. And when he walked off helping that Chris push his deal down to that vacant lot, he don't know this. But the Montevallo policeman said, I don't know who that young man is. It's apparently probably he doesn't know a lot about the church. But boy, he sure does have a heart for these people. Let me tell you something, y'all. That's what Jesus does. He gives you a heart. And you can't smell those sheep. They don't smell as nasty to you as they do to everybody else. And sometimes when you do that, it's like Jimmy and I got to do last week. You find, I don't know where he came from, don't know where he went. Leslie's been knowing about him around here for about a week and a half, 2 weeks maybe. Y'all, he could have been an angel. I don't know. He could have been Jesus himself. I don't know. But I tell you what, he was a lesson in trying to make this poor guy more like Jesus. And I hope God didn't waste his time.